The question was asked, people will often feel like their life is incomplete and there's this vacuum which they don't know how to fill, and where should a person search? And I want to maybe develop the question a little bit. When I was a youngster, I was a magician. When I was a kid. And I practiced magic professionally, meaning I studied it and I apprenticed and I put on shows. And then I learned that halachically it's not so clear you're allowed to do it. So I stopped. But before I stopped, I learned a lot. And one of the things I learned was how to be a fortune teller and how to understand people's psyche and how to understand to talk to people about their future. So before we address this question, if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to take you on a small journey together. Is that okay? A little bit personal, but whoever doesn't want to can like not look me in the eye as I look around the room. But those of you who are willing should, I just want to look at each of you, and then I'll tell you something very interesting.
Everybody has a target.
Wait. Yeah. Right? So, having looked into your eyes, I hope it's not nice. The first time we're meeting, I'm going to tell you something a little bit personal about yourselves. I hope none of you hold it against me. But I was looking for a point which you all share. So at least this way, no one will be uncomfortable that he's the only one. I think that all of you have a part of your personality that you're avoiding. A part of your soul, like this dark, lonely place which you don't even want to look at, you don't even want to admit exists, part of your soul which is in there yearning, and maybe I should discuss it a little bit more, but I'm uncomfortable discussing that because I think you guys are becoming uncomfortable, but this is something which every one of you is not even, I don't even know if you're contending with it. I don't think you're contending with it. You're just pushing it to the side. But it's there. Now, the secret over here is that any human being you will talk to has this component. But if you're a fortune teller and you're charging the guy $450 for your advice, then you don't tell him that. You just start talking to him about what you sense about him or what you sense about the group. But the truth is that everyone has certain aspects about their personality, certain aspects about their soul that are dark, that are lonely, that they avoid looking at, that they avoid addressing. And if we want to understand this better, so we need to go to the famous story of the farmer and the princess. You guys know the famous story of the farmer and the princess, right? There was a meager farmer. He used to shepherd his sheep and tend to his farm. And he, one day, he saw the princess. She went out on vacation, and she went out into the countryside. And she walked away from her guards, and she was walking around picking roses and smelling and enjoying the beauty, and the guards were stationed far away just to make sure no one attacked. But she was given her own private place, and lo and behold, she walks into the pasture where he is watching his sheep, and they strike up a conversation. And he finds her fascinating, and she finds him to be fascinating. And she takes up the next opportunity to go out to meet him again. And before you know it, the two are madly in love and they want to get married. So she comes to her father and she says, "Dad, I met the man of my dreams." And her father says, "Let me guess, it's Prince Henry from the next province." And she says, "No." And her father says, okay, it's Prince Stuart that I've been trying to set you up with for years. And she says, no. And he says, well, which prince is it? And she says, Daddy's not a prince. Her father says, wow, you found a king? And she says, no. I met this fascinating person out in the pasture. Sir Dad says, yes. And he's a governor. She says, well, I guess he's a governor of his mansion. Sir Dad says, well, why doesn't he come over with his troops and we'll meet? And she says, well, he doesn't really have troops. Her father says, why would you be thinking of a man like this? And she says, because I love him. So her father says, you know, you're talking like a child. What do you mean you love him? You need to marry someone of your class. And the princess says, but he's the man I love. He's the one I want to marry. And her father says, you're doing the stupidest thing in your life. You have no idea what you're going to have to live with. And she says, but that's what I want, Dad. He says, you want? We'll make a cheap wedding. I'll come. But don't expect a penny from me. If this is the life you want, fine, you'll have it. But you'll have it on his level. You're not getting anything from me on this. I disagree with the move. And she says, I don't care. So they have a simple wedding. And her father wishes her luck. And she is all idealistic, and she comes into the house, and they're married. And the first day he goes out to tend his sheep, and he comes back, and he has his hand behind his back, and he's, honey. She comes to the door, what's doing? He says, I have a surprise for you. She says, what do you have? He pulls out from his back a bucket, and it's filled with oats. So she looks at it and she says, what's that? And he says, I brought you fresh oats. And she looks at it and she says, don't horses eat oats? So he says, yeah, but they're fresh. So if we cook them up, they're delicious. And she says, oh, okay. And he's all excited, and she's not too excited, you know. From her father's house, she was used to the best meats, the best wines, the best pastries, and he's bringing her fresh oats. Okay. The next day, he comes in, he's all smiling, he's beaming, he's got his hand behind his back. Honey! She comes out, what's doing? He says, I have a surprise for you. She's already a little less excited, and he pulls out from behind his back a goat skin that he just slaughtered, dripping with blood. And he says to her, I brought you a beautiful goat skin. We're going to mend this and make you a beautiful coat. And she looks and says, "Ugh, like, you know, it's all bloody." He says, yeah, before we clean it, before we mend it. She was used to fur and silk, and he's offering her a bloody goat skin. And this goes on day after day, and they're trying to talk, but they're not talking the same language. She's used to sleeping on a bed where she had 15 mattresses. She'd have to climb on a ladder to get into that soft, silky bed. And he's giving her a little cot of hay. And after a few months, she suddenly realizes that they don't talk the same language. Chazal tells us this allegory about the human soul. The verse in Ecclesiastes, oh, our friend already backed out. The verse in Ecclesiastes says, Va'nefesh lo timale. The soul will never be satiated. We come to this world and our soul is yearning. It's yearning for something and we're not sure what it is. So we go and we buy a steak and we enjoy it. And then we finish the steak and we sit there thinking that that wasn't it. And we tell ourselves, let me get married. I'll find myself a beautiful wife. I'll buy a beautiful car. I'll have a beautiful house. I'll become popular. I'll become famous. And you know, Marilyn Monroe, what did she write in her suicide letter? I've come to the realization I will never be happy. What a brilliant sentence. She's right. Because she was barking up the wrong tree. You know, so long as people aren't rich and famous, they think they could get that. That'll give them everything. And then they get there, and suddenly they say, hey, wait a second. This isn't everything. I thought this is where I get all the pleasure and satiation I wanted. No. So then people feel hollow. And then they don't know where to go, so they commit suicide. Shlomo HaMelech warns us, Va'nefesh lo timalei. Says the Medrash, Bat Melech hi. We were granted a soul, she is a princess. And then she comes into this world and you offer this princess, you tell her, have a bucket of oats. So you don't say a bucket of oats. You say, have an ice cream. Have a bamba. Have a chocolate. Have a fancy car. Have a ride at Great Adventure. And you walk away and you feel empty. You sit there and you watch a great movie and you're laughing and it's wonderful and it's fun and the popcorn's great. Everything's wonderful. The Coke is exactly the right temperature. You don't have that annoying guy snickering behind you. Everything's perfect, right? And then you walk out and you still feel empty. Oh, it's nice that when everyone talks about the movie, you could be a part of it, but it's not it. So you go on Facebook and you friend 3,000 people and you feel super popular, but you still feel empty. So this guy Facebooks you, I woke up, it's sunny here in LA, and you go, bummer. And he goes, no, I'm happy with the sun. And you go, great, I hope you have great sunglasses. But you feel empty, what's going on here? This is life. So you go on a trip and you go to the Golan and you have a wonderful trip and you go hiking, you go skiing, you go scuba diving, and everything's beautiful. But that's not it. There's something missing. So people go through life and they feel like they're missing something. So some people try drugs and other people try all kinds of religions and they're not there. The soul is still yearning. So where does a person find meaning? Where does a person find himself? So that question divides into a few realms. A person has to know that he has important accomplishments to accomplish in this world. One of the greatest failings of a human being is when he gives up on himself. Meaning, there'll be a lot of other people that can give up on you. There'll be a lot of other people who tell you you're crazy. And I believe there isn't a person sitting in this room who hasn't experienced that yet. It's a rarity that someone comes to Machon Meir and they don't have at least one person, if not tens of people, telling them, you're crazy. What are you doing with yourself? Stop being a fanatic. What are you going to believe in all that for? Come on, we've all been through that. But what do I think of myself? That's the big question. And if I can come to recognition I have to accomplish certain things in this world, that's one step in the direction of feeling fulfillment in life. If there's meaning to my life, if my life is about having a steak, I know a guy who would never wear the same pair of underwear twice. So he was finicky. He was there in the United States, what they call Bradley's, or I don't know, Lord and Taylor. He'd be buying, you know, every month, he'd buy himself 30 new underwear, chuck out the old ones. Every month, great. He went crazy eventually. That's not life. So he lived on the highest level. Would never wear a garment twice. Okay? It was nice. He'd give away suits. I'd get suits from him for the poor. It was wonderful. You know, I got the Armani suits, you know, excellent suits. Guys in the Machon, really well dressed. Until he went crazy. He had no fulfillment from it. There was a period when he felt, great, look at me. I'm the only guy in the world who doesn't wear a suit twice. I'm the only guy in the world who doesn't wear anything twice, right? Wouldn't wear a garment twice. You know, every shirt had to be straight out of the... Okay, great. And where does he end up? Cuckoo and then Zaina's Island. That's not meaning. But if I can recognize that there's... that things of value I have to accomplish. And that's not even step one. We say, L'takein olam b'malchut Shaddai. We have a certain responsibility here. And that responsibility doesn't begin in the future. That is the Mishnah that Hillel told us. Hillel said, if I don't fight for myself, no one else will. They're going to give out bagels here, and everyone will take a bagel. Will anyone tell me, hey, did you get one, have one? It's rare. More frequently, they're going to say, you sure you don't want one? Maybe I could have yours, right? If I ain't going to fend for myself, who's going to fend for me? So I got to fend for myself. Ukhshani, that's me. But if my life is only about fending for me, Ma'ani, then what's my life worth? So some people say, you know what, when I become really rich, then I'll build all these organizations and I'll help people. No, comes Hillel and concludes and says, V'im lo achshav, and if you ain't going to do it now, eimatai, when do you think you're going to do it? Life has to have meaning every day. And that means that every day has to be a day where I've done more than focus on myself. I focused on giving. I focused on accomplishing. I focused on making the world a better place. I could tell you many stories. But there's a phenomenal story. I don't remember all the details, but there is a phenomenal story about a principal who started a program where every student was paired up with a teacher. Now, every teacher had a bunch of students he was connected with, and every teacher had to give a student a pin that said, "You are important to me." And the students would have to walk around for a week wearing that pin signed by a teacher, "You are important to me." So the students all snickered at him. What kind of deal is it? Right. But there was one student who got that pin. And he wore that pin all week, just like everyone else had to wear it every week. And every teacher had to write to the students who they were assigned words of value, of encouragement, telling them what they valued about them. So every day a student got another sentence from that teacher telling them, "I value this about you, I value that about you." And the teachers were really graded themselves based on how well they did this. And there was one student who later on went back to the principal and told him, "You should know that that week I had a revolver in my hand and I was ready to commit suicide. And I looked down at myself holding the revolver and I saw that letter that said, 'You are important to me.' And I started remembering the things the teacher wrote. And every time I'd consider it that week, I'd tell myself, 'No, wait, I am important. I do have meaning.'" And that student was the principal's son. That's an interesting... you could look it up online. I don't remember the details of the story, but that's in general the story. But this is true for every person. Every person needs to have that feeling that they're important. And what they're doing has meaning. And it's not just the feeling, it has to really be so. So if a person is productive, if a person is active, if a person is active along the path, again, Bat Melechi, she is a princess, her soul, and she repeatedly feels lonely. She repeatedly says, "This is not what I wanted out of life. I'm not doing what I wanted." And then a person starts going on a path where he's productive, active, doing and helping, and in time he finds his niche in that, which is also important. Some people spread themselves so thin, they're always looking to help everyone. They haven't found their niche. And then they're still going to feel like it's not it. So those are steps. They're part of a process. And I think that part of the step is a person has to get married and build a home, and that has to be the first investment. Meaning, we're talking about a broad system, which involves understanding the path of the Torah, the path of a normal person in life. But it's true that most people today feel super empty. They feel like they're unaccomplished. Like one guy told me, he says, "I worked so hard." He's a doctor. He's super specialist. You know, he's like a specialist in this part of the body. Exactly this. But he is the top specialist. There are three on his level in the United States. Meaning, when a person needs this operated on, so there are one of three doctors who are the top. He's one of them. So he worked very hard to get there. But he told me, "What do I have of it? I come home at night and I say hello and I hear my voice going down, echoing down the halls. I have a mansion. Great. I drive the fanciest cars. And what?" So I feel bad because I would like to think that a doctor's calling is helping people. And his calling was always making money. Meaning the helping people was a way of making money. He doesn't look at it as, "Great, I'm helping people." He looks at it as, "I got what I wanted. I'm making tons of money. And that now I'm not so happy." So I think that's, you know, that's pretty sad. Here you have a person who went down a positive path, but he didn't have the right motivation. So now he's really unhappy with what he has from it. But that's where I think this is part of a broader path. This is a broader path of building a good, healthy life with a family, etc. But a life of giving, a life with meaning, a life of litaken olam.